The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Friday, December 1st, 2023, season 19, episode number 80. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, and today we talk about the Cowboys' win over the Seattle Seahawks. They win 41-35 in a barn burner. I don't think any of us expected that kind of performance. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember all the scores, but, man, it was a lot of scoring.
I had them win by three.
But was it that many points, though?
I didn't have it that many points.
28.
I don't think any of us thought that they were going to get that high. Like, there were no punts in this game.
Zero.
No punts in this game.
Brian Anger didn't have to shower.
Yeah.
Like, it's free money.
Exactly.
Free
money. So it was an entertaining game. I had a good time watching it. And we're going to break it down for you guys, let you know what we thought, went right and wrong for the Cowboys. We'll start where we always start the day after a game. Storylines of the game. Patrick, let's start with you.
Let's go ahead and piss off some Dak Prescott haters. Not only does he deserve to be in the MVP conversation, he had already deserved to be that going into this game, but after this game in which your defense struggled and we had questions on, you know, did we have confidence that this Cowboys offense can win a game for you when the defense is having a bad day? The answer is now yes. Dak Prescott has shown, and he did it against not only a team that's above 500 or was above 500, but we talked about how the Seahawks secondary was probably arguably the best secondary Dak Prescott would face, and he basically took them to task for the process of four quarters. Another comeback win for Dak Prescott. You talk about the escapability. He gets out of that sack to find Tolbert for the twinkle toes catch from 17 yards. Who does that? Dak Prescott does that. When he was blitzed, 7 of 8 for 77 yards and a touchdown. You can't blitz him. They went to zone after seeing him dissect man coverage over the past several weeks. 80% zone coverage run by the Seahawks. What did Dak Prescott do? 26 of 34, 256 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 127 passer rating. Last 7 games, 2,200 yards, 21 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions. Right now, he leads the league in touchdowns. He only has 6 interceptions. That means he leads the league in interception percentage as well. And I could go on and on, but also just watch the film, watch the games in addition to what the numbers are saying. And if you still cannot climb from under that rock, if your eye test is still failing you, then by all means, go invest in some LASIK because you're not seeing the game as you should be seeing it. Dak Prescott was surgical last night. He was everything the Cowboys needed him to be. The defense needed him to carry them on a bad day at the office. He did exactly that. There was nothing, I should say, few things that he would want back. The throws were there. The decisiveness was there. The escapability was there. And Dak Prescott, let me get him for MVP right now. Let me do it.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's my turn. Y'all are looking at me. I'll have a quick venting session.
At the buzzer, that's why.
Yeah. I'll have a quick venting session I'll try to be fast.
I get nervous.
No, you know, people are just... I'm a lady, huh?
People are
just like annoying the crap out of me today on social media because first it was, all right, well, let's see if they can beat a good team. Let's see if they can beat Seattle. Sure. That's the next one. Oh, hold on. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Seattle is not a good team. What are you talking about? The refs gave that game away to Dallas. Oh my God. Well, they're playing at home. I'm like, shut up.
No,
Derek will kick me off the show.
You could have said shut the hell up. Go for it.
Just it's so frustrating because when it's not one thing, it's another. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Like, you're the saying of, like, you're only as good as your record shows. That's true. But at the same time, something else can be true. You can still be a team that gives you a lot of trouble and makes you really, really work and still not come off with the win for that team. You know, for example, Seattle, we saw it. We saw a lot of the things that you broke down, Brian, on the scouting report. Mm-hmm. They are a good team.
Very.
They have talented players. So stop talking about this like, well, they're not a good team. Let's see what happens with Philly. Oh, y'all barely won that game. It barely came off the win. Well, guess what? Plenty of other teams, Eagles, have barely won many other games. So that's just the NFL. So, like, freaking come back with a valid argument. That's just what's frustrating. I just get upset when it's like, now you prove what you've been talking about, but they just won't shut up. And get off my social media. Like, quit commenting on my stuff. Get away. Like,
get them.
Yeah. But or no, just keep doing it. You give me views, you give me engagement. Sure. let's just make a business out of it. But anyways, I just wanted to let that out. That game was fun. It was really fun to watch. It was so head to head. There are a lot of things that we watch that you don't necessarily like. Some of the troubles that they had on defense.
Penalties.
Discipline. Penalties. And a lot of things that you should fix. But at the same time, when you see such a head-to-head game, just going back and forth, just seeing how well Dak was throwing the ball, some of those long passes, those great catches, that's fun.
Yes.
That's a fun game to watch, and obviously a lot more fun when they come out with a win.
Every time I watch Tank Lawrence play, it reminds me how much I love him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to talk about complete players and guys that have the ability to play the run and the pass, and in this league it's a lot about the stats. But every once in a while you have to find ways to win when it looks pretty desperate and dire. The fourth down stops, all three fourth down stops they had in that game yesterday was due because of Tank Lawrence's ability to play not only the run, but to affect the quarterback in the passing game as well. And so when you're having a little bit of a rough day, you always got to lean on guys that you know will go and make plays.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Quinn leaned on Tank Lawrence yesterday, excuse me, in their game. And every time I would sit down and watch him on the all 22, I'm thinking, if I had 11 guys like that on defense every single time, we're going to do a lot of good, because he doesn't get nearly enough credit for how he plays the game and the intelligence that he plays the game. You know, his ability to understand blocking schemes and what people are trying to do and the magnitude of the play at that right moment. It was incredible, because the defense, we talked about it, it was going to be a struggle. It was going to be a struggle to cover these guys. The quarterback, Smith, has the ability to get hot during a game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Dallas got after him at the end. They had to make some stops, and Tank Lawrence was a big part of that.
That's really an astute point, Brian, because I think even on that final play by Seattle, that final offensive play, Micah's getting a lot of the credit for that play. But what you got to notice is Tank Lawrence actually gets upfield, and him getting upfield creates the problem where the running back can't release out into the flat. Because everybody's like, man, why would you leave Micah unblocked? I actually thought it was a great play call. That's a great play design, great play call. DeMarcus got in the way, and he was in the way to the point where the running back couldn't get that release. And because he couldn't get that release, now the quarterback's having to hold it a little bit longer. Right. Mm-hmm. Micah's so extremely fast, he gets to the quarterback, and it just makes it to where it throws the whole play off. If it doesn't happen like that, and that running back's out there, and he can just loft it up, that's 20, 25, 30 yards.
When you watch the play, they run three guys inside to make it for all the picks.
Yep.
And it's a play that is designed, as you said, Derek, to just run the running back over and just lob it, and then he's going to go up the sidelines with nobody there because everybody's carrying routes inside. Yep. And so there's nobody in that area. But all year long, Micah Parsons has been one of the tops in the league when they monitor the get-off times, the fastest get-off times off the ball. And Micah Parsons consistently is one of those guys. But Tank's awareness to get over as he's filling, I mean, him, everybody was aware of what was going on in that particular play. And again, the magnitude of the play and what they had to do. And great call by Dan getting his guy home. Great job by Tank getting over and being disruptive on the play.
And keeping to the defense, because as phenomenal as Tank was, and he most certainly was that as well, I'd be remiss if I didn't give roses to Jordan Lewis also. Jordan Lewis had his hands full with Jackson Smith and Jigba, which was the guy that I circled as far as a big concern going into this game. And when push came to absolute shove and you needed a stop, here was Jordan Lewis flying in with a cape on, not on one third down, but on two consecutive third down drives. Where basically the Cowboys needed to get those stops. And that's both of those times, that's what forced those two fourth down conversion attempts, which then failed in large part because of Tank Lawrence and that defensive line. So Jordan Lewis, there were some plays that Jackson Smith and Jigba had against him. He was getting off against him a little bit. But when the lights got real bright and that pressure came on, and it was the Ohio State rookie against the Michigan veteran, it was the Michigan veteran who saved the day.
Yeah, I love a challenged Jordan Lewis. Like he has that mentality. He's the kind of guy where he does not shirk from responsibility and from challenges. Like, he will actually step into that moment where a lot of guys, the worse it gets, the worse they get.
Right.
Like, I think Jordan's the opposite of that. The worse it gets for him, the more he's resolved that he's going to figure it out. And I really like putting him in those kind of situations.
It was just fantastic ball from him to end the game. And just the defense as a whole, because when you talk about a team – allowing 35 points on their home field, it's clear that they had a bad day at the office. But it's also just as much about what you do when it matters most. So if Jordan Lewis gets those two PBUs and it's in the first quarter, it's probably of no consequence. But he got them when the Cowboys needed it most and when his team needed it most, gave his defense, defensive line a chance to stop them on fourth and short. And then, you know, circling back, Dak Prescott went downfield and he did the rest. Jake Ferguson, CeeDee Lamb, the CeeDee Lamb drive. Oh, my goodness. Animal behavior from this offense right now. And Mike McCarthy, outside of the one play that I really want him to never do again, if the opposing team is out of timeouts and you're in that third down situation at that point in the field, just run the ball, take 40 seconds off the clock, and then make your fourth down decision if you're going to do field goal or not.
Well, here's what we're going to do. I want to take a break, and we're going to come back. And I actually thought there were four decisions that Mike McCarthy made yesterday. Four decisions he made yesterday that I think are worth discussion. Not saying they're wrong, saying they're worth discussion. I want to get y'all's opinion on these decisions. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. But there are three others that I think we need to talk about. We'll do it when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys. And now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to the break.
All right, how about this one? Head to AT&T Stadium on Saturday, December 9th to experience Rally Day presented by SeatGeek. Take a tour of AT&T Stadium, get autographs from the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders and alumni, play games, head outside to the Miller Lighthouse, and even play on the field. And don't forget to get your photo with Santa and Mrs. Claus. Okay, this is where she makes the appearance.
She's back.
She's back.
She got tired of being at home. Visit AT&TStadium.com/rallydays for tickets and more information.
Welcome back. Second segment of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. The segment brought to you by Blockchain.com. All right, let's talk about Mike McCarthy. There were a few decisions in that game. That I thought were worth, that merited a discussion. And I'm going to go through them based on kind of the timing of the game. And then I want to get your opinions on each as far as where you thought it should have gone, whether you thought it was the right decision or not. Let's start first with it was Seattle's second possession. There was a holding penalty. And Mike made the decision.
He took the,
that he was going to decline the penalty.
Yeah.
Now, what happened was it was second and 10. They gained 3 yards on the play. Yeah. So his options would have been, you accept it, or you decline the penalty, and it's 3rd and 7. That's what he decided to do. Or you take the penalty, and you go to 2nd and, I think, probably 17, because the holding happened a little bit beyond the line of scrimmage. Was it the right call?
I questioned it, because to me, I felt like at the time, Seattle, when they get in 3rd and 7, they were going to find a way to make a play.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at one point in time, they were 8 of 9 on 3rd down. And, you know, but I was like, move them back. Maybe you get a sack. You know, maybe you create a negative play. Maybe you get another incompletion. Maybe you force Seattle to maybe have a give up play where they hand a draw or something like that because they're backed up. But I was surprised he took the play. I really, really was. I was like, just move them back, because Seattle was kind of a point where they were kind of converting 3rd downs on you, and it didn't matter the distance, but maybe if it was like 3rd and 18 or something like that, there would have been a different, they would maybe looked at it a different way. But you gave them 3rd and 7, and for them, that was kind of in their wheelhouse last night.
Yeah, I think it could have gone either way. I think it was just my takeaway there is that it was Mike McCarthy, you know, and Dan Quinn having confidence in their defensive line and saying, okay, well, you know, we figured that you can go out there and get this on this next play. I could see it going the other way, and you say, like you say, Derek, if you take that, then there's a positive to that. When I saw it in real time, I was like, eh, and then I kind of moved on from it. So it wasn't anything that would have changed the game, the outcome in the game of the game from my perspective. So I don't know that I was fine with it, but it didn't exactly ruin my moment, that kind of thing. So I see why he did, but I could see why someone would argue against it as well.
Well, at that point of the game, I'm still trusting their decision. You know, like,
It was 10-7.
Yeah, it's still early. Yeah, 10-7. You're still going into the game of several weeks where McCarthy has been doing a really good job at calling certain plays. So at that point in time, going back, what I'm thinking, I didn't think much of it. I'm like, okay, well, let's see. You know, I give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see how this turns out. But we'll move on to what comes next. Yeah.
Well, it ended up not hurting them. That was the drive where they ended up missing the field goal. They did get in field goal range, but they missed the field goal. I will say I was kind of losing my mind on this one, because it just, to me, it just went against the convention of how you would call a football game. Like, you take the yards, and especially when you're on – when we're on their side of the field, you push them back farther and you force them to have to convert farther, or you play the field position game. Yeah. And if they're going to have to punt, then you get more yards. It was a little baffling to me.
If it's a 5-yard penalty, I maybe understand. But a holding penalty, something with, you know, more distance to it, I'd be like, back them up.
Yeah, holding can be like drive killers, right?
Yeah,
right.
I mean, that's what they say. Sacks and penalties are the drive killers, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the second one. This one happened about 3:41 in the third quarter. He opted to go with the extra point instead of a two-point try. The score was 28-26. They get the extra point. They move to 28-27. Did you feel that was an okay call?
I'm laughing because I sit next to you on the, at the game, and I know how much it's bothered you. Like, this goes against Mike McCarthy.
Not this one. The one before that. This is the extra point. I wasn't really dying on the extra point one.
I think Nick
was stronger on they should have gone for
two. No, because you were saying this is kind of what Mike McCarthy likes to do is find out early early in the game whether you can convert or not. This is where he kind of gets a good feel of what the team is or how the game is going to kind of go. So that's why I'm laughing because that was a play where you're like,
what it did was it confused me about Mike because how many times we heard him say, the way he calls a game is he wants to know as early as possible what he has to do.
So when
you get in a situation where you're going to go for two or not go for two, you'd rather do it earlier so you know if you get it, what do you have to do? You know if you don't get it, what do you have to do? You'd rather do that than wait till the end of the game to get that two-point conversion, and now you're out of options because it's too late in the game. That's been – I've heard him say that multiple times in these situations. So I was more baffled that, like, this isn't what you've told us is your philosophy on this. So why in this instance was it different? That was my big thing. But I don't have a problem with the decision. I just thought it was weird because that's not what he typically does.
Mm-hmm. I would have gone for two there. And – you know, for the exact reason that you just said, I need to know what I'm up against later on if I do or do not get this two-point conversion. Because you're going to need 2 points, be it now or later, given how the math works out. So go ahead and give it a shot now, especially because at that point as well, I mean, the offense was cooking. I mean, there wasn't much that the Seattle defense could do to stop Dak Prescott and those offensive weapons. So especially on a drive like that, what was that? That was 12 plays, 75 yards.
Like most of the drives.
Right, and a touchdown. So, I mean, it was surgical. So at that point, I'm like, hey, okay, let's go ahead and let's tie it up, you know, 28 all, and then play from there. But thankfully, it didn't ultimately cost him anything. But that particular decision, I would have gone ahead and gone for two.
I think you kick it there. I do. And then I hate chasing points. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things. And when I'm one of those guys, too, that believe when you have the opportunity to get points, you try and get the points, you know, when you get field goal situations and stuff like that. So they had a really good two-point play that they were able to get to Cooks. I think they wanted to throw the ball to Gallup, but Cooks came open quick. Mm-hmm. So that made a lot of sense. But I understand why he kicked the extra point there, just for that. I don't think he wanted to chase points right there.
Yeah.
At that moment for me, and I get the whole mentality or the concept of like you'd rather find out early rather than later. But at the same time, I personally I'm like, just kick it. I feel more safe that way. And they're right there. Like it's not like
he also knew. And you talk about a feel of the game. Both coordinators had to feel that neither defense could stop the other.
He
just knows, okay, if I kick it right here, you know, now that might be a reason to go for two, that if you don't get it, you know you're going to get back down there. Mm-hmm. But the feeling, the flow of the game, I mean, both offensive coordinators were, anything on their play sheet was working.
Yep.
You know, so I think kicking it was probably the right thing for him.
And I could definitely see Mike having that standpoint of feeling like, you know, after that touchdown, after a drive like that, which was another drive like that for the Cowboys, feeling like we'll take one because guess what? We'll be back down here. We'll be back shortly.
We're probably not going to get a stop on our end, but we're going to get the ball back.
I agree with that part. I'm like, and Nick made a good point, too. He was like, you know, if you go for two and you don't get it, now they go down and score, which they did.
Right.
Now you're down by nine. You're down by two scores. Yeah. And so it's almost like you kind of have to play that part, too. Like, our defense isn't really making stops. So do we want to put ourselves in that kind of hole if they go down and score? And so I thought it was the right decision. It was just weird to me because that's not what he typically does. That's not how he typically handles those situations.
Right.
All right, let's go on to the third one. It was 108 left in the third quarter. Score Seattle 28, Dallas 27. This was right after the Bland interception. Dallas gets three downs and really doesn't get much. They're at a 4th-and-2. at the Seattle 30. They opt to go for it on fourth down. They have an incompletion to Lamb instead of taking the 48-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Right decision, wrong decision.
I'll tell you what, this one plays with you because 70%, the metrics say 70%, 71% you go for it.
Huh.
69% say kick the field goal. So there's a 1.3% chance here of going for it.
Yeah.
And you fail. So, you know, the metrics, it's weird. It's 70.7, go for it. 69.4, kick the field goal. And 66.3, punt. So, I mean, that just shows you how close that decision was that he had to make. Me, personally, I'm taking the points.
Yeah.
You know, especially after an interception. You know, I'm not gonna let them feel good. We turn them over. Now they're about to turn us over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not gonna let them feel that way. I'm gonna kick it down there. Ball's gonna be on the 25, and I'm gonna play defense. I'm gonna try and play defense. But man, the metrics are all really close on that call.
Unpopular opinion. I freaking loved that play call. Oh, man, I love the aggressiveness, and I love the play call itself because obviously Seahawks are expecting to run. What do you do? Flat right to CeeDee Lamb. Lamb just has to come up with that ball.
Yeah.
It's one of the rare drops that you've seen from Lamb this season.
He quickly was like, my bad.
Exactly.
Oh, no, it was.
He knew that was one.
Dak got him the ball quick. It wasn't like, wait. He just threw it like on the line.
So the execution from Lamb wasn't there, but the aggressiveness, I love it, especially given the tone of the game, how the game was going. It was just, hey, haymaker after haymaker from both of these offenses, and Mike felt away. Mike was like, hey, I'm not going to keep settling for field goals. And I think I put that on Twitter at one point. I was like, these guys keep coming, walking down and scoring. You're not going to beat them by you getting down there and you getting into these goal packages and settling for field goals. Like, you're going to lose the game if you continue to do that. So in keeping with that spirit, I love the call on fourth and two. I think that aggressiveness is exactly what this game dictated. That's exactly what the defense gave you. And if Lamb comes up with that ball, then we're not having this conversation.
And nine times out of ten, he does.
Right. And then what probably happens is that demoralizes the Seahawks, and Dak probably gets a touchdown for the offense, you know, finishing up their drive. So, yeah, I'm totally fine with it. I am 100% in on that play call in that situation and this type of game at that point in the game with that school.
Can't wait till Kirby Smart goes for it all weekend for Georgia in this game against Alabama, and Patrick starts losing his damn mind.
Yeah, no, Kirby's going to break out the big marbles. Break out the big marbles. That's the only way you beat Nick Saban. Big marbles. Big marbles.
We will see on Monday.
Every fourth down call, Patrick's like, big what the hell's our coach doing?
Yeah. Hey, fourth down calls are only as good as the result.
Only as good as the result, man.
All right, Amber, what do you think?
Well, now that you know the result of it, it's easy to say, hey, I would have taken the field goal and gotten those 3 points. But at the same time, based on everything that you've seen the last couple of weeks, and even in this game, between Dak, how well he's throwing, and CeeDee Lamb, the game that he's been having, it makes sense why you would take that kind of risk.
That's a good call.
I don't blame, I'm not upset by it. Yes. You getting points, however, whether it's 6 or 3, you want them. But at the same time, I understand completely the reasoning why he made that call.
Yeah, I would have been more upset if he would have gone to a less reliable receiver in that situation.
Like,
if he would have gone to one of his other guys that aren't as reliable.
Like a Shoemaker or something
like that. Yeah, like, you know, somebody where
he wasn't having a great game. Turpin, you know, he was struggling at times. And those are the types of games that you're like, okay, let's say he throws it at him and then he drops the ball again. Then you're like, why? You've seen him not catch the ball in this game. He wasn't necessarily having a great game. So I agree. If it had been somebody else rather than CeeDee or even Cooks, Cooks was having a good game too.
Yeah, the fact that he called up his guy and the play got him open.
Yeah.
Like, everything says this was the right call because they knew what the result would have been 95% of the time. It just so happened it was the 5% where it didn't work. And so I agree. Like, I at the moment before the play, I said, give me the 3 points.
Yeah.
But after I saw the play itself, I was like, I'm not so upset about that. He knew he had a play. Like, that's the whole thing for me for play callers. Do you know you have a play in those situations? Mm-hmm. If you know you got a play, go for it.
Yeah.
And they had a play, and it should have worked. It just didn't this time, and that's just, you know, the human frailty, right? The people not being perfect.
Right.
It's fine. Like, that call I can be okay with.
Yeah, CD catches that 99 out of 100.
Well, we're about to get to the one I'm not okay with under any circumstances, ever, ever, ever. So I was 100% ever.
With the one we just talked about. I'm about to be the opposite.
All right, so 152 left in the fourth quarter. This game is razor tight. They threw for a pass. It was 3rd and 3 at the Seattle 14. They'd already they end up throwing the pass. Yeah. They stop the clock at 1:46.
Yeah.
They could have run the clock down to right above 1 minute if they had run the ball there. I'll take you one step further. Nick and I were talking about this during the game. I would have run it, and then if things worked out where I got 2 yards,
bingo,
I'd have gone for it on fourth down. I'd run it again.
There you go.
Right, because
that's where I'm at.
Yeah, because I'm like that. That's a better way of using
kill
your
the
time.
Game that
exactly.
Way.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Kill it that
so, what
do
you guys think about the play call? The desire. I mean, go for a pass on third down in that situation.
I'm thinking I don't want to cover. I don't want to cover DK Metcalf anymore.
Exactly.
I don't want to cover any Smith and Jigba. I don't want
enough.
I've had enough. I've had enough. I don't want to cover, you know, it's a 1:40 left. I don't want to cover these guys anymore. I'm tired. They've wore my ass out. I you know, if I'm Dan Quinn, I'm like.
You're talking like you were out there on the field running.
But that might have been the conversation. It might have been like, this game away. Throw the ball. Yes, just throw absolutely. It. I don't care. I don't want to have to deal with them again.
I'm sure Mike in his mind's like, I wanted to end the game.
Right.
And I'm with you. I'm like, listen, you know, we talked about 4-minute offense this week.
Yeah.
We talked about that ability. The Cowboys haven't been in a lot of 4-minute offense games. And this was an opportunity. And Pollard was feeling it a little bit. And, you know, they got some surge. The one time the line pushed him for like another 4 or 5 yards running.
Yeah, Tyron just like almost picked him up,
just,
moved him.
Just everybody moving. And you're thinking, you know, and you get Zach Martin probably in the huddle like, guys, here we go. Let's get this. You know, but you got 2 plays to get 4 yards.
Yeah.
And if you want to end it right there, yes, end it that way. But to throw some low percentage fade.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And keep more time on the clock. If I'm Dan Quinn, I just start crying at that point. Literally tears.
Why are you sending me back out there?
I click over to Mike and I go, thanks.
So much time.
Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, thank you. Because I was tired of playing against those guys yesterday at the end.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it anymore, you know?
Yeah. So,
but if you want to end it for me, end it by running and running again. Right. And if we get stopped, you know what? That's on.
And now we got a minute as opposed to 1:46. I feel a lot better about a minute, right?
Yes.
I feel a lot better about
especially
a minute.
When they got 17 yards on the first play.
Yeah.
They throw it and it goes out of bounds. And you're like going, why did you want to throw the ball right there?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Magic Mike was in his bag for the most part of yesterday. He absolutely was. But I cannot be more passionate about the hell no on that fade in that situation. And we talked about it like before we went on the air. You run the ball.
Yeah.
Because they're out of timeouts.
Yeah.
You burn it down to, what 1 minute and 1 second.
Yeah, something like that.
Put you in 4th and short, and then you make your decision.
Right.
Maybe you kick the field goal. Maybe you go for it. I just said I love the aggressiveness. I probably would have gone for it.
You can even throw there on 4th down, because if you stop the clock, it doesn't matter.
But
right?
At minimum, you have to burn those 40 seconds off of their play clock.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm with Brian. It was exhausting to watch Metcalf. And then,
And
keep in mind, not long before, Lockett had just given you a gift with the drop.
Yeah.
So maybe that doesn't turn into a drop the next time. Maybe that's a walk-off touchdown. Yeah. So in that situation, run the ball on 3rd down, salt the game away, punch him in the face and finish the game on 4th down if you're going to do it that way. But the fade route to stop the clock, even if it had worked – I mean, I would have celebrated it working,
but
I still would have decision at all.
I had visions the way these officials were calling pass interference.
Yeah.
And every play was a 48-yard pass interference penalty.
Yep.
And I just had visions of that Raiders game on Thanksgiving that one time where Sean Hockley's crew just kept calling illegal contact, DPI, DPI, DPI. And you're like going, we can't survive this.
Yep.
We can't. We can't let them throw. I mean, we've seen what happened. They threw the ball to a guy one time, and he got 73 yards. And it was the fastest anybody's run all year
that dude was
in
moving.
The league.
He was moving.
He was going. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the nightmare I was living at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, I just did not want
Mike to. Mike went Kellen on that play. Shouldn't have gone Kellen.
I'll tell you what,
play.
You lose that game,
that's
though.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, he went
lose
Kellen
that
on
game.
That play.
You're...
Oh, yeah. People would have been talking about that.
Nobody would have been talking about anything else. Yeah. That press conference would have been Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. Uh-huh. What the hell were you thinking?
What was your thought process?
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, did they ask him about that in the press conference? I was in the locker room.
No, I was in the locker room.
Okay, I don't know if they asked. So they didn't ask him about it.
I think on the walk-off he said something.
Okay.
But, you know.
I'll have to check in with Nick on that. But, yeah, I was in the locker room, and I was wondering if somebody was – I assume someone
I was
would
hoping
ask
somebody
it.
Was going to ask him, but then again, you'd been like, well, stop being so damn negative. Well, I'm trying to learn football here.
My thought would be just walk me through your thought process.
Right.
I want to understand why you made that decision in that situation. And I'm sure he probably said – I trust my quarterback.
I'm trying to win the game.
Right. We had been driving the ball all night. Right. And so I'm trusting that Dak's going to make this play and the receivers are going to make this play and we're going to get the first down. And honestly, I don't know that the play was designed for him to make the throw that he made. I haven't gone back to look at it yet.
Yeah,
I wonder if there was another place he was supposed to be going first. And then because it wasn't open, he ends up just kind of throwing in and saying, hey, I'll give my guy a chance maybe to make a play. I don't know that was the play design. Maybe.
Just run the ball.
Maybe.
I just peeked at the transcript. No one asked McCarthy about that
in the press
fade.
Because
okay.
nobody
conference.
Wanted to be the negative guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, because it all worked out in their favor. But
yeah.
Other than that, I mean, Mike called a masterclass of a game. A couple things he'd want back. That one, yeah, that's definitely one. Definitely one.
Yeah. No, I 1,000% agree with thank you for the laugh, Brian. And I shared the
Didn't
same.
Didn't you get tired of playing those guys?
I shared the
I
same.
I got really tired. At the end, I was tired.
I was exhausted
done.
At the end of that game.
I was
game.
Done.
Yeah. It was an exhausting game.
That was an exhausting game.
Doing post game really. To 1 in the morning doing that. I'm like, God, I don't want to do this anymore.
What you've seen all throughout the game, that's a tough one, too. How to rely on the defense, which is crazy because for the recent years, you've been able to have the defense to be the one that you can rely on. And then now you're us, as we watch, questioning, oh God, can the defense hold up and make the stops when needed right at the end? And they did.
Yeah.
But at the same time, based on the game, how it was going, you shouldn't have been leaving that up to chance on like what the defense can do for you, whether they can stop them or not. So high risk, I guess high reward.
See, this
winning.
Is and Patrick, you're right about what Mike did as far as a play caller. I think where I'm the most critical of coaches, head coaches, and not just Mike but other ones, know the condition of your team.
Mm-hmm.
Know the condition. If I throw my defense back out there in this situation, what could happen? You know, that's where I think we all agree about run the ball, run
100%.
The ball. You know, and it try and end the game that way. End the game by playing downhill, not, you know, and but to me, I've coaches sometimes they don't know the condition of their team. Sometimes you'll hear coaches say, like, we'll give example for the guy at the Commanders. He's had two times where he had Philadelphia on the ropes where he could have gone for two and ended the game.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, my offense was exhausted. No, coach. Ron Rivera, you had a chance to end it right. You're not the favorite in this game.
Right.
You have a chance to end this game right now. Don't make your team have to play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They played the best they can. It's not good enough today.
Give them one play shot at it.
Yeah, just give me one opportunity to end this thing so I don't have to put my guys back out there again.
Yeah. And maybe that's what kind of – sorry. Maybe that's kind of what happens when you're having to do both roles of – being the play caller and the head coach, you know, like maybe you're in that play caller mentality.
I'm
where
glad
you
it
focus
worked out for
offense.
Him. I really am glad it worked out.
Which goes to what I was going to say. We all, I think we all agree that you run the ball there.
Yeah.
Fact. But the confidence The confidence that McCarthy had in Dan Quinn's defense to march back out there after basically just getting, you know, dragged all over the field by those guys. And then for that defense to look McCarthy and Dan Quinn in the face and say, we've struggled all night, but thank you for giving us one more chance. Yeah. Because if, let's say the Cowboys do end it on that drive, which of course we would have preferred, then the story is only that the Cowboys offense won the game. Only. But at least now.
I'll take that, though.
This defense
has helped me in a lot. You know, if I'm Dan Quinn, I walk up and give Mike McCarthy a hug, and I'm saying, hey, boss, we didn't have it tonight.
Yeah, 100%.
I promise we'll have it next week.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I'm simply saying, in this situation, after the decision to make that throw was made, kudos to the defense for saying, I see that you gave us one more shot at proving you right. And we're going to step out there and we're going to prove
but
you right.
See, so. Mike could have helped him by taking 40 seconds off that clock.
Oh, no, we all agree with that. If I'm Mike,
I'm thinking about how do I help Dan
right
now.
We all agree with that.
Yeah, but you know, the one thing I will have to say.
And his defense for not making Mike regret that decision.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say is, too, like, we're talking about that and we all agree on that. But the fact is, Mike probably would say, you know what? I trusted my defense, and my defense held up, right? And so how do you argue that? Because he's right. At the end of the day, as bad as they played throughout other portions of that game, when it came down to it and they needed to make a stop, they made a stop.
Yeah.
And so in that instance, he was kind of right if that was his thought. Now, again, I will never agree with the decision.
He's a much more trusting guy than me.
Right.
Because I didn't trust the defense, and I didn't trust those officials.
Yeah.
I didn't trust either one of that crew. Yeah. Anybody with all that time left on the clock,
All you needed was one play downfield, pass interference, and here we go.
It's okay to trust what you got. It's okay to trust your team, but at the same time, is that self-awareness. Yeah. You got to be self-aware of what's going on and what's happening and not place, you know, the ones that have been struggling in a bad
harm's
situation.
Way, in a worse position than they had to be.
Yeah.
They were going to have to go back out there with a minute left, but that's different than going out there with a minute 45.
I agree.
Left.
I'm just so thankful that the Cowboys defense in the clutch made it where the storyline for this week was not that fade call to CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
So the defense, they stepped in and they cleaned it up for Mike. So
did.
But Mike, in that situation, run the ball.
Run it twice.
Yeah, there you go.
Real quick before we end the show, and I don't know, we're not going to get to this second commercial break, but real quick before we end the show. It is absolutely my show. Blame the quarterback. Let's talk. Give me an idea of what you thought of Micah Parsons' performance, because although he hasn't really been getting the sacks all the time, he certainly made an impact on that game. Your thoughts yesterday on Micah?
Yeah, they did it. I felt like they did a pretty good job on him. But the last play, I mean, they move him around to try and every offensive coordinator has to identify where he is.
Yep.
Protections are set off him. So the fact that they move him around, and the teams have kind of figured out, though, get the ball out quick in the short, quick passing game. Last couple of weeks, what have we seen from the Commanders? And then what do we see from the Seahawks? Kind of a short, quick passing. Get the ball out. Don't mess around a lot because of Micah Parsons and what he can do. But you know, when you absolutely had to have him that last play, he's playing all those plays, and now the one play you really, really need him, he really affects the game the way he did. So, but he is up against it every single week because of what coordinators account for with him.
Whether you see him at the back end of the play with a sack or a QB hit, whatever, or you don't, he's impacting the game. Yeah. The fact he's on the field impacts the game. It could be directly or indirectly by way of freeing up some of those other guys in one-on-one matchups and things like that. He still ended up yesterday leading the Cowboys with pressures, quarterback pressures. He had 7 yesterday, so he was getting back there. My only concern throughout the course of the game is they just could not get home on Geno frequently enough. They were getting back there, but that's also kudos to Geno because kudos to Geno, the one on the back foot where he just lobbed it, and you're just like, okay, Geno's in his bag. Micah, he impacted the game throughout, directly and indirectly, and then of course you saw what happened, and also kudos to DeMarcus Lawrence on this play as well. But when you have DeMarcus impacting the game like that, and then you leave Micah unblocked, you're going to get what you get, and the Seahawks got what they got. So Micah, definitely another good game for him.
Same.
Hey, by the way, Sean Polite needs your vote for Fan of the Year.
Oh, thank you.
Sean Polite's our 2023 Cowboys Fan of the Year. NFL.com/fan of the year. Go vote for Sean.
Go vote for him.
He needs your vote.
All right, so we're going to wrap this thing up.
Jake Ferguson for your Pro Bowl. Ferguson, put him in.
Let's do it. We'll be back on Monday. We get a chance to do some watching this weekend.
Did you see him put that linebacker in a body bag? Oh, my God.
College football and pro football. Big game this weekend.
Good luck.
Yeah, it'll be big. But big NFL game this weekend. You got San Francisco against Philadelphia. That will be fun, and we'll get a chance to see. There is a possibility.
Are you kidding me?
If San Francisco wins that game, then Dallas may be playing for a tie in the NFC East next week.
Who wins?
Oh, y'all want to call that one?
No, let's call it next week.
I'm saying who wins San Francisco Philly.
Okay. Yeah.
Give me a call. San Francisco Philly.
They're in Philly, huh?
Yeah. Wait, are they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Philly, okay.
San Fran takes this one 24-20.
San Francisco win. I don't know the score, but San Francisco win. I think their passing game will be too much for Philly.
Yep.
I'm with that one. And as much as I hate both of them.
Same. But you got to pick
49ers.
One.
Yeah. 49ers. Yeah. I've beat them up.
I've thought all year San Francisco is a better team than Philadelphia.
Beat them up real
nice. I think this is the week when they get
real
the win. Nice. And it's going to set up a really juicy matchup next week.
And call Sunday Derek for tickets for next week for that Philly game.
But
if you
then
need
what, also, what also works is
tell anybody.
I love what Amber said to the 49ers just now. She was like, beat them up. Yeah, because
right.
The Eagles will be playing the Cowboys coming off of a bout with the 49ers, whereas the Cowboys will have a mini bye going into this game at home against the Eagles.
Can I say something real quick?
I like it a lot.
Our fans did a good job yesterday. But did you see Dak try and quiet the crowd at one end?
They're still learning.
That's where all the Seattle fans were.
Don't get me started.
The Seattle fans did a good job.
There were a lot of Seattle fans. We have it on the screen. We have it when Corey Miller, he's in charge of that, he puts it up, make noise. Like, you know when to make noise.
And he also puts it up there when he says, quiet. Be quiet.
I don't understand.
I'll tell you, but Dak was trying to quiet the crowd, and he was going
But that's because it was the Seahawks.
The Seahawks end zone. Yeah. It was like a college atmosphere in their end. And he's like, quiet.
And as he's doing it, they're like, let's turn it up. No, it was definitely
an
electric atmosphere out there at AT&T Stadium. We'll be back there tomorrow. Texas. Let's see if we can get a win. All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back on Monday. I'll talk to you about what happened in the NFC with the 49er Philly game. Until then, for Patrick Walker, Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break live on DallasCowboys.com radio. Hook 'em.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!